thy throne.
Thy throne,
O Lord,
is forever.
Hallelujah. Is a throne of majesty. Oh yes, the scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thy throne, O Lord, is forevermore. Hallelujah, the scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness. As a Lord, a day with the oil of gladness above thy fellow. Therefore, Lord, behold our God, as a Lord, anointed day with the oil. Our God has anointed thee with the oil of kingship to rule in the midst of thy fellow. Hallelujah. Holy are you, Lord.
Are you, Lord God.
All creation. They calls you Lord.
Oh, you are worthy.
Worthy.
Worthy is your name.
Yes, your name.
Is your name, Lord.
We worship your majesty. How great thou art. You are Lord, mighty are your miracle. We stand in awe of your holy name. Papa, Lord, we bow and walk. Worship you,
holy Lord,
holy, holy, oh,
are you Lord God,
all creation, they call you Lord,
oh, you are worthy,
worthy.
Are you Lord God?
All creation. How great thou art. Arise, O Lord, and let your enemy be scattered. Arise, O Lord, in the midst of your congregation, thou and the ark of your strength. Arise and clothe yourself with light in the midst of your sanctuary. For we are your people, we are called by your name. We are your people, O Lord, we are called by your name. O Lord, our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Oh, that you will rend the heavens and come and overshadow us again, Father. Lord, we ask for an overshadowing.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
The time for the overshadowing has come. He said, Lord, how shall this thing be? Said, the power of the highest shall come upon you, and the Holy Spirit shall overshadow you. And that which shall come forth shall be called the Son of the Highest. Oh God, we ask for an overshadowing. Overshadow us with the immortal glory. Overshadow your church.
Yes, Father.
Clothe us with the garments that you have promised us from the beginning. Oh, we ask for an overshadow.
Oh, yes, Father, we do.
Brood upon us. Spread your wings.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Bring us under the shadow of your wings.
Under the shadow of your wing, Almighty.
Bring us under the shadow of your wings. Into your secret chip. Where we can commune with you. Between the wings of the cherub.
Yes.
He said, there I will meet with you. I will commune with you between the wings of the cherub. Bring us, O Lord, to that place. Hasten our step by your spirit. For you say you will do a quick work and you will cut it short in righteousness. Oh Lord God Almighty, we are called by your name. We have no other God beside you. Therefore we run to you and ask for a covering. We ask for an overshadowing.
Amen.
We ask, oh Lord, that your light will burn brighter and brighter.
Amen.
We ask, oh God, for divine counsel and wisdom. That only you can give.
Yes, Father.
Lord, show us the way.
Yes, Lord.
Lead us in the way we have never been before. Go before us as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to bring us into your resting place. Oh, Father, we just worship you. Father, we bless your name.
Hallelujah.
Father, we magnify you. Hallelujah. Praise the name of our God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. We receive a touch of your spirit. We receive a touch of your spirit. We receive an enablement. We receive an empowerment. We receive help by your spirit. Oh, we gain access, entrance into your sacred chamber by your blood.
Amen.
Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Lord, our God, the word is your own. You alone have the right to speak your word. Lord, when it pleases you, you use his mouth and of clay to speak it out. Lord, I receive an anointing upon my lips. Let grace be poured upon my lips, O Lord. I receive the grace of the Almighty God upon my lips. Help me, Father. I rely upon you, my God. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Help me, Father. For these are not ordinary days and ordinary times. Therefore, he that speak must speak as an oracle of God. Therefore, Lord, I beseech you, have mercy on me, O Lord. And have mercy on all your congregations. And help us to enter into your word. Thank you, Holy Father. Plead the blood of the Lamb again and again. Thank you, Father. We bless you and worship you together. In Jesus' awesome name we pray.
Amen.
In Jesus' most glorious name we have prayed.
Amen.
Praise the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lamb of God. Let God be magnified in his house.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. You who makes the heavens your throne. You who founded the earth and laid the beams of your chambers upon the waters. You that dwells in the light unapproachable. We come to you and we thank you for the open heaven.
Amen.
Blessed be your name, Lord.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we continue on our meditation on praying in the Father's will. And we did mention last week that the Father has a will. The Father has a will for each one of us. And the will he has for you is unique to you in the framework of his total will, as expressed in the Holy Writ. The Father has a will, a purpose he's pursuing. And in the framework of that total, he has for everyone he has received. And every one of us must first of all understand the general will of God. The general will of God, the purpose, the drive of God. And then from there you can locate the specific one that God determined for you. And we did say that please don't copy anybody. Don't try to be like anybody. In fact, the souls of men is not even enough to exhaust all that the Father has. All humanity that has ever lived, that is living and that will ever live, they are not sufficient to exhaust all that the Father has in his will. So you have a unique place, a unique package. And that's the one that should concern you. That's the one that you should seek after diligently. And the Father is more willing to give it to you. He said it's the Father's good pleasure. It is his pleasure to give it to you. He said, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, he made it known. And the truth about it, that if he doesn't make it known, you can't know it. You can't get crashed into it. You can't be assuming about it. And as I was looking at this over again through the week, one of the things that came, that one of the reasons why many could not or will not be able to enter into the will of God for their life is because they are always looking at somebody else. It is somebody else that is denying you your access to the will of God. Until that person falls away, you can't enter in.
Isaiah has been prophesying for 5 chapters. Yet he was going about with unclean lips. He can't access the prophecy that is going to move him to the next age. When he will begin to talk about the Messiah, he can't go into that. So the Bible said the year Uzziah, that Uzziah was the main factor that kept Isaiah away from entering in. He said, the year Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Your Uzziah must die to see the Lord.
Amen.
To walk in that vision, in that will that God has determined for you. Amen. Many of us have a lot of these Uzziahs. Oh, Uzziah has been very good to us. Uzziah means strength. They have been very strong in our life. They have helped us. And by the virtue of that help, we just tag on to them. We just become bound to them. Oh, he's my mentor. Oh, he's my mentor. Please, let's put away all those mentorship ideas from this workplace. All Uzziah must die so that you can see. This is the year Uzziah died. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Many of us are just close to entering our will, the purpose of God. But somebody, a looming person, just stand up there. And you just lost your focus. And begin to look at that man. And begin to try to pattern it after that man. And that was a dislocation, a disconnect. Come back and begin to see the Lord high and lifted up. It doesn't have to be something big. You don't look for a big thing. Start from small, small things. Learn how to do the small, small things. God reckon on faithfulness than on how much we do. Don't seek to be big and be just start in a small way and go from small to small. When God judges, he will bring more, he will bring more. But when we see somebody doing big things, oh yeah, I want to be like that man. God lamenting about the people of Israel. He said they always go under every green tree in the mountain. Every green tree that, oh, they just go there. Oh, this is the Uzziah. The will of God for your life is between you and God. Is a transaction between you and God. No man, nobody, no matter who he or she is in your life, will be there with you when you are getting it from him. So you must settle that in your heart and remove every distractions, whether good or bad, remove them and focus on him, and he will give it to you. How be it? He will not give it to you all at once. You don't do that, even in the natural. You have a will for your child. You have a will for your daughter. You will not give all to her at the same time. You want her to have this, you want that. You will not give it. You give it to her stage by stage. As she grow, as she move, you continue to unfold it to her or to him. That's the way we do, even we are parents. You have a big estate. You have a big property that you want your child to inherit. You will not go and say, okay, this is the key. No. In fact, what you do is that you keep it in trust. Let somebody else be managing it on his behalf. That's the law. Until he's above 18. Then you bring it out. And I want to let you know that's what Jesus is doing for you and me. He's our shorty. He's our shorty. He's the one keeping all your inheritance. All that the Father has willed for you, Jesus is the one keeping them in stock for you. He's your surety. He's your assurance that as long as he's there, you are going to come into it. That's why we must cleave to Jesus. That's why we must know him. That's why we must worship him. That's why when you are anywhere and his name is mentioned, you should change your position. It should call your attention. Because that's the person that holds your will in his hand. The blueprint of your life has been given to him by the Father. So stick to him. Make him all that you want in life. And he will always guide you step by step. He will never give you beyond what you can take at a time. He knows you. No matter how much you pray and cry, he will not give you more than what he knows you can carry. So quit trying to do something. Just love him. Just worship him. Just be in tune with him. And everything will fall in place as you move on. So there are four stages we will look at that the Lord has a will, something he has prepared for you, something he wants you to focus in that will eventually move you into the perfect will, into the excellent will of God. Now, last week we talked about the will and how important it is. Now we want to move on to define what that will is. What is the will of the Father for you and me? What is the Father's will? Because it is in that environment, when you pray in that environment, 100% sure, you know your prayer will be answered. And we say we want to be a house of prayer. You know, the most discouraging thing is to pray and not have your prayer answered. The Lord was ministering to me some year back. I was just communion. He said, look, why aren't people praying? And I answer back, I say, well, many people pray and they are not having answer. And so there is discouragement. And he answered back, why aren't they having answers to their prayer? And he answered, because many of them do not know the reason why he gave prayer to the people. He gave us prayer arrangement, but we take it and interpret it based on our own wills. He said, when my people begin to pray in line with my purpose for giving prayer, 100%. And we read in the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 14 to 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So if you ask anything that is not according to his will, he does not hear you. So how do we get our prayer answered? Make sure it is in the framework of his will. So seek it out. Ask him. Purge out all the idols from your heart. Because many times when we are full of idol, according to the book of Ezekiel, the Lord may make you to hear the idols that are speaking from your heart. So many times we think, the Lord has spoken. Meanwhile, you are only hearing the idol. Let's look at that passage. Ezekiel. Oops. Okay. I think it should be Ezekiel 13. I was so sure I have marked it down. He said he will answer them according to the multitude of the idol that is in their hearts. Of the image. Please, if you say it, and all of you are Bible students, so I shouldn't be hedged in. Just look for it. He talks about when they come to me, he said, I will answer them based on the idol that is in their hearts. And that's a very terrible state. So when you come to him to seek his face, you must remove every idol. Pardon?
Ezekiel 14.
Thank you very much. Let's go there. It's very important we read that. So that's... we can all know that this is a very serious business. From verse 2. And let's see how much of it we can take. Okay, from verse 2. Let me read. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, now, why do they come? They want to know the mind of God. They want to know the will of the Father. But let's see. Son of man, these men have set up their idol in their heart and put a stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Should I be inquired? God was not asking the prophet, should I be? When you come with an idol, when you come with something that you just want God to come and rubber stamp for you. Oh, I want to be this. Oh, I want that. Oh, I want that. Verse 4. Therefore, speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idol in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idol. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourself from your idol and turn away from the face of the abomination. For every one of the house of Israel or of the stranger that sojourned in Israel, which separated himself from me and set up his idol in his heart and put the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, he's repeating it again for emphasis, to inquire of me concerning me, to come and inquire, I want to know your will, I want to do your will, I will answer him by himself. He will be hearing himself and he will think he's hearing me. And I will set my face against that man, and I will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Hallelujah. So that is how serious it is, brethren, in coming to seek God's will. You must divorce yourself from everything that you think you know about that thing. You must come to him knowing nothing and say, Lord, all I want is just your will. And he's going to test that confession. He's going to test it. And he will give you time to think over that thing you are hiding and reveal them to you and see how you are going to deal with them. So, brethren, what are we saying by this? We are saying that as we are all eager, because many have called, oh, uncle, how do we know? As we are all eager, the first thing is search your heart. You know your heart. And if you are confused about it, that's where you have a God who seeth the heart. Say, Father, reveal my heart to me about this matter. Show me what is the impediment in my heart. And he will surely show it to you. So in coming to seek his face, in coming because desiring the will of God is desiring something very important. It's the secret of God you are looking for. And he have people he gave the secret to. And so before he answered you, he will first of all search your heart. Are you ready to do it? Because it's not just giving it to you for an information. You must do it, so that it will not become a stumbling block for you. So he will see, are you ready to do it? And once he know that you are ready to do it, he will give it to you. So brethren, as we seek God's face, because I know that after this meditation, we'll begin to seek God's face in an uncommon manner. This house will truly become a house of prayer. Men and women, boys and girls will begin to pray and ask God. And God will surely answer us. One thing again I want to say about the will of God, there is no conflict in the will of God for our lives. No conflict, because God is not an author of confusion. There is no conflict. When you know God's will for your life, I know God's will, she knows God's will, that's what makes a church to function under the divine system of protocol. When everybody, the Bible said they all march in their way, none of them will cross each other. He said these are people that know how to keep rank. When each one of us know God's will and you are following after it, you are moving after it, there is no confusion. There will be no You know, in fact, where confusion comes is when you don't know it. That's when we cross leg. That's when we cross each other's path. That's when this one will say, ah, why you, you know that? But when you know it, I know it. I know what the Father wants me to do and I'm doing it. It's a perfect harmony. So that's why it is important in the house of God. If you want to be relevant, you want to be, you don't want to be a stumbling block. You want to be a contributor, a stakeholder in the house of God. Take time to know Father's will for you. And the time you take to know it is an investment into the kingdom. May the Lord help us mightily in the name of Jesus. So let's go straight. What is the will of the Father? Simply put, and though we're saying it straight away, but we'll still break it down. The Father wants to reveal his Son in you. The Father wants to fashion you in the likeness and the image of his Son. The Father's heart desire, will, is to have many children. So he has a principal son through whom he brings many sons to glory. So the Father is working that you might be conformed to the image of the Son of God. And when there is anything in your life that is averse to the will of God, to the image of Christ, you should fight against it. You should stand against it. When you look the back, okay, let's go there. The book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3. Verse 17. It said, now the Lord is that Spirit. Hallelujah. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty. Because in walking in the will of God, you need that liberty. Let my people go that they may serve me. It's a command. Because as long as their liberty is estranged, as long as they are under oppression, they can't serve him. So the Lord is that Spirit. And we are the Lord, that is liberty. So there is liberty in you. Not liberty to sin. Not liberty to do your own thing. Is the rest of the Lord. And in the rest of the Sabbath of the Lord, you don't seek your own pleasure. But liberty to serve him. Liberty to come boldly into his presence. Liberty to fall upon his shoulder and embrace him. I say, Father, show me thy way. Liberty to come. That's why he said, come boldly before the throne of grace. It's liberty. No fear. He said, God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear. But he has given us the spirit of his Son, crying in us, Abba, Father. So the spirit of liberty. Liberty to enjoy God's goodness. Liberty to walk in his righteousness. Liberty to take what belongs to him and claim it as your own. And no devil can challenge you. Liberty to confess his word and he affirm it. I am a child of God. I am born from heaven. I am an heavenly citizen. It's your liberty you are expressing. And the heavens affirm it. Yes, 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 yes. I am more than conqueror. I am full of life. I cannot be sick in this body. I have immortal life in me. And the heavens say, yes, we attest to it. It's liberty. Liberty to take what God has and declare it your own. Hallelujah. That's why I love this song. I have Jesus, my Father's Son. I cannot fear. I cannot worry. I have Jesus, my Father's Son. There is no fear. There is no worry. I have Jesus, God's only Son. I cannot fear. I cannot worry. Lord, look, let me tell you, brethren. God gave you Jesus. That is his only and perfect gift for you. You have Jesus. Say to yourself, I have Jesus.
I have Jesus.
I have Jesus Christ.
I have Jesus Christ.
So you have Jesus. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with that gift? You have Jesus. God has given him to you freely. He gave it to you so that you can enjoy him. And I tell you, if you are talking of enjoyment, there is no enjoyment greater than in Jesus Christ. So much of the liberty. Let's go on. Verse 18. But we all, not anyone left out. We all of us, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Your change and continuous change into his image is the Father's will. That is the total will of God for you. That when all is said and done, when all have been preached and all that has been done, those that will be accounted worthy to stand before him are people that are completely in his image and likeness, both in character and in life and in power and in glory. They are exactly the replica of Jesus. That is the central will. And every other thing takes its draw from that. Every other thing. So each day of your life, you keep asking of yourself, how much of him have I become? What are the things in my life that are still in contrast to him? And those are the things you focus on and deal with them and then move on. Let's take another witness in the book of Romans. I think we read it last week. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 from verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good. Okay, from verse 27. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saint of God according to the will of God. And we know that all things worketh together for good to them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. Everyone. Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestinates to be conformed to the image of his Son, that the Son might be the firstborn among many brethren. That is it. That is the will of God. That is the purpose of God. That's what God is working out. And every other thing that comes takes its spring from all that. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God Almighty. At the end of it all, there is glory in store for you and me. That is glory. God wants to glorify you and me. And he's going to do that. He has already begun already. And he will do that. How do I know he will do that? Because we have the grace of God. Wherever the grace of God is planted, glory must spring up. Wherever God gives grace, it is because glory is expected to spring up from that place. God spent grace so that it can reap glory. The currency of God in your life is grace. He keeps spending it. He keeps spending it because he knows that one day he's going to reap abundant of glory. So the Bible said, God give grace and glory. No good things will he withhold for them that walk uprightly. Psalm 48, 84. God give grace so that from that grace, when you use that grace sufficiently, adequately, glory will emerge. Now that is a glory we have, you know, not yet in the fullness. But as we continue to press on from grace to grace, not taking the grace in vain, ultimately at the end of it all is the fullness of the glory of the Father that will be revealing you and me. Hallelujah! Amen. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. We are not created for shame. We are not created to be ridicule on this earth. We are created to share, to be part of the glory that the Father is revealing in his Son. He said, the glory which thou hast given me, I have given it to them. Amen. Father is glorified in his Son, and the Son is glorified in his body. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. So that is the central will of God, which each one of us, every one of us must focus on. The Son must be glorified. Jesus must be glorified. Jesus must be glorified. When you go out, Jesus, you must be glorified. Today, you must be glorified. In my work, you must be glorified. In my family, you must be glorified. In my life, in my comfort, you must be glorified. Lord, be glorified. Lord, when you allow that seeking of the glory of God to capture your heart, and you now come to the Father and say, Father, show me your will, because then he will reveal it to you.
Hallelujah.
When you are passionate about his glory, when the passion of his glory, let him be glorified. I don't even care whether I have to die for it. I don't even care whether I have to be ashamed and be ashamed and people ridicule. Let Jesus be glorified.
That's it.
Paul said, according to my earnest expectation and hope, in nothing shall I be ashamed, but with all boldness, even as now, that Christ might be magnified in me. He said, whether by life or by death, so for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. May we come to that level of our commitment to Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
I'll walk with him.
Amen.
The Lord, I just give up all things. I just let it go. Just want you alone to be glorified.
Yes,
and he must be glorified.
He must.
God is committed to it. I tell you, brethren, the only singular commitment of God on earth is to glorify his Son.
Yes, sir.
Period.
That's it.
God is, because his Son satisfy him so much. Satisfy him to the highest level. And God has sworn that his Son, Jesus, must be glorified.
Amen, amen, amen.
And
amen.
You and me are the instrument
amen.
By which that glory will come.
Glory, hallelujah.
Unto him.
Glory.
Oh, we will go and crown him with many crowns. We will lay our trophies at his feet.
Yes.
Oh, we will bring our crown to him.
In the mighty name
he
of
said,
Jesus.
Crown him, Lord of Lords. And we will all place our crown upon him. His crown with many crowns.
Glory.
Many crowns are waiting you, O Lord our God.
Amen.
Thou that seated on the throne of majesty.
Amen.
Unto
Amen.
You shall all trophies
Unto
come.
You,
the Bible said the 20 and the 4 elders.
Yes.
Yea, the living creature. They say, holy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God. Who is worthy to be praised. They worship him. They bow
amen, amen,
to him.
Amen, amen, amen. Glory.
Kalem roshte baru mashandi. He alone shall be glorified.
Amen.
Make that a drive in your life. Make that your commitment.
Amen.
Make that your prayer.
Amen.
And you will never miss it.
Amen.
You will never miss it.
Amen.
You will never miss it. Make that a commitment, a prayer. Something you sit for day and night. You will never miss it in life.
Amen. Glory.
Make it your prayer. And the Lord will direct you.
Hallelujah.
How many of us have partaken of his grace here? How many of us have received of the grace of the Father?
Abundance.
Oh, my brother and my sister, that grace is a seed sown for the glory that is to come.
Yes.
For the glory that is to come. So don't take that grace in vain, but continually
Hallelujah.
Rejoice in it.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Okay, now let's now move and define that will of God for each one of us. What is that will? We have defined the general will. And as we move on and grow up in grace, he began to unfold it to us yet more and more, what he desires. Because the will of God for your life has a time and season element attached to it. So you can't ask for what you are supposed to have in the time of harvest and be asking in the time of sowing. It won't work. The thing you are supposed to have in the time of, you know, tilling your ground and making sure the thing you want to begin to have, it can't work. So many, we need to know the time, the season that God has put in his power. Amen. In us. The power is already in us. And when you walk with that mindset that it is all about his glory, he will always make you to know what the times and the season is.
Thank you, Father.
So that you'll be able to ask and ask intelligently. As we have in the natural, human growth go through stages. We have the time we were born, we are babies. We have the time we become child. Children. John called them my little children. And then we have the time when you become a young man. And then you have the time when you take on the fatherhood. There is the will of God for you in these very stages. So when you are still a babe, you cannot be asking for the will that belongs to the fathers. You can't even be asking for that which belongs to the young men. You must just stay within that which the Father has ordained for you for that. And what is, when we have, okay, look at, we have children amongst us. These are babies. We have babies amongst us. We have Joseph. We have Joel. We have Jerusha. You know, what do we give to them? What is their concern? Milk. They desire it. They long for it. They have deep appetite for it. You give it to them. You have to give it to them. No parent will give his child to another person. We give his baby. Of course, you can give your child to somebody else, but you can't give your baby. Say, oh, take my baby. Go and be feeding him or her. You can't do that. Even if you allow that, you are under your supervision. So when we are still a baby, we are close to the Father's heart. We are close to the Father's heart. The Bible revealed him in the book of Revelation, as the one that is girded about the pap with a golden girdle. We are close to his breast. We suck from the milk of his word. As babies. So he said, as baby, desire the sincere milk of the word of God, that you might grow thereby. So as a baby, God looks for growth. So if at that time you begin to, what is the will of God is that you might grow. God wants you to grow as a baby. And once you start, once the gene of growth, spiritual growth, start kick up in you, it will never stop.
Hallelujah.
Until it brings you to the fullness. At that stage, you need the gene of growth to be kickstarted.
Amen.
And it's kickstarted by the milk that the Father produced. That's why we must desire that milk. So, and as you drink and partake of that milk, thereby there is that growth that keep on happening. There is that divine growth, that increase that keep on going on in your life. Many have become, you know, like, what is the name of those dwarf?
Midget
dwarf. Spiritual dwarf. Why? Because when they were babies, they do not desire the sincere milk. They do not desire the sincere milk that it might ignite the gene of growth and make them to grow. So as a baby, as somebody who is just coming in to know the Lord, let me tell you this straightforward. The will of God is that you desire the sincere milk of the word. You stay upon it. You meditate on it. You read. That is the will. And God is going to provide the enabling environment. God is going to provide for you what you need to be able to take in much and much and much and much of the word of God. That is what he desires for you. That is the will of God for you. That is what he planned for you. And graces will be made available. Amen. Ministry will be made available. Amen. All that you need and require to know will be made available. It is only for you to desire it and begin to take it. And once you make it your desire, it will run through your life. It never stops. So when you see people get to a certain stage and the word of God becomes stale, they can't read, they can't meditate, they can't stay. It's because at their baby stage, they have not taken time to receive that word. They have not desired it. So that goes on and on. Then we come into the place of children. At that stage, at that time and season in your life, you are brought under the schoolmasters to train you in matters that reference the kingdom of righteousness. It's a time of training. It's a time when you are under schoolmasters. And they will train you. They will teach you. This schoolmaster could be persons and could be, spirits. They will train you up. They will build you up. Some of them are good, giving you good experiences. Some of them are bad, giving you bad experiences. But they are all put together to train you up in the matter of the kingdom of righteousness. It's the time for the father to begin to discipline, to teach you how to be disciplined in the house. That time you can commit a child to a school teacher, a guardian, and you have quite a lot of them. Whether it's on the negative side or on the positive side, the school teacher, they are all school teacher. Many of us will look at the devil and say, I wish God. No, he's part of the school teacher. I didn't hear it. Everybody keep quiet. He's part of the school teacher. Because Jesus Christ is the Lord of all. He's the Lord of both the righteous realm and he's the Lord of all. He reigns over all. So sometimes when he discovered that this child is becoming too this thing, he sends some demons to go and harass him and wake him up. I know we don't like that, but that's the truth. No demon comes to a child of God except Jesus Christ allows it. Because he's the Lord of hosts. Amen. He's the Lord of hosts. Both the host in the heaven, the host on the earth, he is the Lord of all. No demon, no witches, no Satan comes around a child of God except at God's own command. So when he allowed it, it's because he wants to steer you up. Number one, there are two reasons why he might steer it up. One, it's either that he wants to manifest his power through you to deal with that spirit. Or two, it's either that you are becoming complacent. You are becoming, you are losing the sense of discipline. You are no more being disciplined in the use of the things he has given to you. Maybe you are sleeping, whatever, you sleep too much. He allows some demon to give you some bad dreams. They come and press you down in the night. And then you wake up and say, oh, hey, I bind. No. Don't bind yet. First of all, kneel down and repent. Say, God, forgive me. I was sleeping too much. Such needed to not to have happened. Or you slept and find yourself in a very bad situation. I say, oh, my grandparents, I do this thing. My demon. No. Forget about all those things. You are a child of God. You are covered.
Hallelujah.
Doesn't come. You must have slept. The Bible says, when man slept, what happened? The devil saw what? A tear. When you sleep, the enemy will sow the tear. So sometimes your Lord used the enemy. He used him. He allows him. So go and wake him up. And they come and wake you up in a very bad way. Give you a very bad dream. And then you say, oh God, what kind of... Is it my grandmother? Is it my... No, nobody. Nobody. It is you. God is just waking you. Just get up from your feet and say, Father, I'm sorry for I've been sleeping too much in the last 3 days. I have not been having time to pray and commune with you. I'm sorry about that. Cleanse me. I receive your blood for cleanse. And move on and worship God.
Hallelujah.
They will clear. They will run away. They will flee away from
yes.
you. Oh, my brethren.
Yes.
There is no devil on earth. There is no devil anywhere in hell that has the right to harass any child of God. If that happened, then all that happened at Calvary is a lie. It means Jesus did not die. But if truly he died, then there is no devil anywhere that has the right or any power to harass any child of God. So as children, when you are in the time of children, John's called them my little children. That is the time when God begins to school you in discipline. A matter of the kingdom. For the king that must reign must be disciplined. For each one of us, we are heirs to the throne of God. And if we must ascend to that throne, then we must learn discipline.
Hallelujah.
We must learn to be disciplined. And God is going to employ his righteous instrument to make us to be disciplined in life. It is a time of child that you inculcate, just like in the natural. Nobody will be telling Jerusha about discipline now. You know, say it's time to wake and it's time to sleep, okay? You are wasting your time. She will decide when to wake and when to sleep. She will determine when to, you have to just, you know. But when she begins to get to that, you know, no, you can't sleep. You can't be crying at this time of the night. It's time to go and sleep. Discipline. So that is a time of discipline. So when you are praying at that time, it's that, Lord, cause me to know your discipline. Take away every act of indiscipline.
Amen.
Let your hand rest upon me and show me areas in my life that have the tendencies to make me to grow out of order of the kingdom principle. So that's the time of children, little children. And we have that. You know, in the book of Galatians, he said, when an heir, you know, is still a child, he differeth not from what? From a servant, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
For he's under tutors and under governors, you know, until the time appointed. They tutor him. They govern him. They say, sit down there. You know, they teach him the principle of righteousness. Because the kingdom of God is the kingdom of righteousness. They teach him how to love righteousness and hate wickedness. They teach him how to choose between righteousness and wickedness. They feed him with butter and honey. So that his senses are getting sharp to know how to differentiate between good and evil. And know how to choose between them. He said, butter and honey will he eat. So they give the children, they feed them with so much of butter and honey. Where is that? The word of God, the principle of the word of God. They instill it in the child. He knows when things are coming and they know where they're coming from. They don't take darkness for light. They don't confuse things. That is given to you. And if at that stage of your life, what you need is to say, Lord, feed me more with honey and milk. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. So you are graduating from the milk to honey is now included. You now begin to eat the honey that give you understanding, that give you wisdom. You begin to have understanding, spiritual understanding. Paul said that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. Your eyes of understanding are suddenly becoming enlightened. That is the will of the Father for you. And when you make that a prayer in your life, you can be sure God will always, at every time, answer that prayer for you. And then you come to the place of young men. These are warriors. This is the time to fight. This is the time to put on the whole armor of God. This time to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This time to build spiritual muscle in the spirit. This time to stand as giants in the land. Young men are talking about strength. The will of God at such a time is to build up spiritual muscles. Put on the whole armor of God. You are introduced into spiritual warfare. And you are being gradually introduced into divine warfare. You begin not only when you are a child, most of it are spiritual warfare. When you become a child, you still engage in spiritual warfare, but more now of a divine warfare. You now begin to pray over nations. You begin to pray over cities. You know how to intercede for individuals. You know how to make decrees. You know how to stand and say, Lord, concerning this my town, this my city, these are my decree. Now, before then, between children and young men, you are most concerned about, oh, Lord, deliver me. Lord, I bind the witchcraft spirit, ancestral spirit that destroy them, unclean spirit that I bind them. You are more, those are spiritual warfare, and you do that. We all do that. But when you become a young man, it's no longer going to be just about your own comfort. You now begin to pray in line with God's will for his own. You now begin to concern yourself about God's will. What is God's interest is? Hallelujah. What is God's interest? It's no longer your own interest. And that is bringing us to the way Jesus Christ spoke about will. He said, for the Son of Man has not come to do his own will, but to do the Father's will. So what we are talking about, brethren, is praying in the Father's will. And we see it. He said, my meat and my drink is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish it. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 14. Verse 17 is our goal. It said, wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. There is the class of the unwise. That is the class of those who have understanding of what the will of the Lord is. And a lot of times, when we are still between babies and child, we are still dangling with a lot of unwise things. And God, being a father, accommodate them and, you know, walk us through them. But when you begin to come into young man, youth, he said, I write unto young men, all those unwise things must be put away. Understanding what the will of the Lord, the master, is, take preeminence. It's no longer your will. It's no longer your desire. It's no longer what you want. It's what the Lord wants. It is at that stage all the idols of the earth must be completely taken away. They have already been taken away gradually, but all the hidden ones are brought open. God begin to unveil them that you might deal with them. So he said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding belongs to men. Understanding belongs to men. What the will of the Lord is. And when you begin to desire the will of the Lord, when you begin to pray into, when you begin to pray in line with it, things begin to open up. Oh, my brethren. Brethren, let's pray in line with God's will. Let's make it an habit. Let's make it an habit. Whatever you are looking for, whatever you are desiring, put them aside. Face God's will. Face God's will. I will never forget that experience because it's a major landmark. A lot of things were bombarding my mind. A lot of concerns. But the Lord helped me that night. Woke me up. And I started interceding for nations. Crossing over to Europe. Starting from my own immediate Jerusalem, Churchill, Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. And then the spirit of prayer took me to Europe. And the Lord, the spirit of prayer, helped me. But I have my own need. I came that, I remember I woke up to tell God, look, you know, that just fade away. And I was exercised in that by the spirit of prayer. And as I finished praying and I went to my bed to just lie down, immediately I had that experience. My eyes became open. I saw what was happening at the ground floor, close to the door. I saw hordes of hell coming to with malicious intention to attack. And I saw the angel of all I can see, the belt. I know he's wearing a belt and a sword and he's held them captive. They couldn't move. They were agitated, but they said, you can't go. But they allowed their ogre to go, their captain to go in. Say, you go. And I saw him coming through the stairs. And he entered the room straight away. And I lie down. Now, as he entered in, my position changed from lying down on the bed normally to lying down across the bed. Because he was entering through the door that faced the bed. So he came right to my left hand. And as he came with fury, point the left finger and said, the Lamb of God has the victory. Hallelujah. My victory is in the Lamb of God. My victory is in the Lamb of God. He became frozen up. And that was it. That was it.
Glory.
What if I had gone with the burden in my heart, Lord, I'm tired of staying in Churchill. I want to go back to my family. That was it. But God just took that away. And I remember times. I remember when we were in Kaduna. It was like a feverish feeling coming upon me. Headache and all that. And I woke up. Oh, I want to pray. And the spirit of the prayer took me and I began to pray for those who are sick in the house. I began to pray for others who are sick. I said, Lord, heal this brother. I know he has this problem. Heal that, heal that. I even forgot about my own. I woke up that morning, it's all gone. When we concern ourselves with the purpose of God, God will never leave your own unattended to. God will never leave your own unattended to. God will never leave your own unattended to. In fact, God always overpay those who serve him and serve his interest. So there we are, brethren. So the young men are the stage of strength, building up strength, spiritual stamina, spiritual muscles. The Lord is preparing you to go into his divine warfare. When you begin to pray for nations, the Lord is preparing you. So and at that point in time, the will of the Father is that you be strong with might by his Spirit in the inner man. God wants you to take on strength. God wants you to increase in strength. God wants you to mount up with the wings of an eagle. He said in the book of Isaiah, let's take that witness. Isaiah 40. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Isaiah 40. What did he say toward the last verse of it? Verse 29. Oh, let's read from verse 26. Oh, no. From verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who had created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He called them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one of them faileth. Oh, you said, oh, that is God. God is strong in power. Oh, in the greatness of his might. And then when you look at it as though it's just God, you now begin to look at yourself. So verse 27, then you now turn to Jacob. He said, Jacob, why are you complaining? Why are you thinking like that? That your way is hid from the Lord? And that your judgment is passed over from God. That is, God does not concern himself about things that pertain to your welfare and your well-being. For that was why the judgment was given. To ensure that the welfare and the well-being of the people of God is secure. So he said, I am he that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. So he went on to execute judgment in your prophetic idiom. So who is it that cometh and drive? He is coming from our prophetic idiom to crush all the things that wants to be embarrassing you. He did it all by himself. So for the day of vengeance is come. The day to execute the judgment is come. So he said he execute judgment upon the heathens. So he said, why are you talking like that, that your judgment is past? Verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not, neither he is weary. There is no fainting with God. And if you are with him, there shall be no fainting. If you relate to him, you will know no fainting. No fainting, no weariness. And there is no searching of his understanding. Verse 29. What does he do? He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Sometimes even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings of an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the youth the Lord is talking about. The youth that have learned to wait upon him. The youth that have learned to trust and depend solely upon him. The Lord will renew their strength. Your strength is daily renewed. Oh, brethren, may you know a renewal of strength in the place of waiting on the Lord. Even it affects your physical body. Your physical body is affected. Don't go around, oh, who will pray for me? I'm feeling sick. Don't ever do that. Cry unto the Lord. Worship the Lord. Lift up your voice. Cry with strength unto the Lord. Give him praise. Whatever that sickness is, it will disappear. It will disappear. When you are feeling down, and oh, it's like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Create a time to wait upon him. Take a time to wait upon him. In prayers. Spend all night. Take sleep away. Because many of us, if we have an exam, you will not sleep. Wait upon him. Let's wait upon the Lord, brethren. It's our call. It's the ministry God has given to you and me. Our sister shared in praying with us. He said that, come away. Come and hide in the chamber. What do you do in the chamber? You wait upon the Lord. You behold his face. And when you wait upon him, what does he do? He renew your strength. He renew their strength. May our strength be renewed. May we know the place of the renewer of strength. May you know the key to get your strength renewed. And we shall mount up with wings as eagles, not as chickens. Not as turkeys or Canadian ducks that can only do this, and then go down. They mount up with the wings of an eagle to go into the highest. They go into the place of rocks. They go, they soar beyond the clouds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to challenge you, brother and sister. If only time you sing praises to God is only when you come to fellowship, you are not serving God at all. If the only time you worship God and sing to him from the depth of your heart is only when you come and the instruments start playing, you don't have an instrument in your heart that play music unto the Lord and sing and dance before the Lord, you have not started walking with the Lord. You are still playing around in Babylon. Because the greatest prayer in life is praise and worship. You don't know how to pray if you don't know how to worship God privately. You don't know how to pray if you don't know how to praise him with all your heart. You don't know how to pray. You might spend 10 hours, 15 hours in prayer. That one you are just moving at the speed of what do we call it? Maybe Airbus 380. Airbus 380. You know that those one that we take up. But when you begin to worship, you are moving at the speed of jets, at the speed of light. When you begin to praise God, when you learn to wake up and do nothing, come to God with nothing, and just fill him with your praises. Lift up your hands and sing to him from the depth of your heart. Lay on the floor and continue to sing with tears in your faces, worshiping God. You are praying. You can do that for only 15 minutes. You have done much prayer in the spirit than praying for 10 hours. Angels are excited when you begin to, they begin to somersault in their worship. Let's note that as the renewer, the place of the renewer of our strength. Oh, yes, my brethren. That is the key the Lord gave to me much early in my life. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm not this. But when it comes to worshiping God privately, don't interfere. My family here, they know. Oh, yes, don't just come near. Don't just come near. Because that is my life. That is my strength. I don't have any other thing, no. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm not, But when it comes to just waking up in the morning and just sing the whole place down with songs of praise coming from the spirit, I sing in understanding, I sing in the spirit for hours on ending. Therein lies my strength. And I'm giving that to you, particularly those of you in the music something. Don't come and be singing a song you have not sung to the Lord in the secret. A song you have not given to the Lord, don't come and give it to us in the fellowship. So any song that I raise up, I have sung it to the Lord over and over again. It's the place of the renewal of our strength. We shall mount up with the wings of an eagle. We shall run and not be weary. And we shall walk and not faint. There is no fainting for the Lord, for the Lord's people who learn to wait upon him. So let's take the last one and then we move on, knowing how to now know it. So the time of youth is the time of your strength being renewed. When you learn to wait upon him in the place of prayer, fasting, and holding on to him, your strength is being renewed. Then it brings you to the place of fatherhood. The place of fatherhood. And that's the place of rest. There is a rest for the people of God. That's a place of rest. And let me quickly say that this is not a function of age. Say, oh, maybe when I get to 55. Or No. Right now you can enter into the state of fatherhood. It's not, oh, maybe when I'm 60 or this thing. No. You can enter into it. It doesn't take time. As you move, you got wind from milk early enough. You learn how to feed on butter and milk and know how to discern between good and evil. Okay, let's pick another one. Let's pick Hebrew. Hebrew. Hebrew chapter 5, verse 11. Let me read it from verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracle of God. That is, at that time, the will of God for them is to be teachers, imparters of life. That is what the will of God is for them. But because they have not graduated, they are still in the baby stage. These are old men. Old men. They still need the milk. You still need the milk. And not the strong meat that belongs to the young men. For everyone that uses the milk is unskillful. They have not been trained. Because the place of training is the place of when you are a child. You are trained. They are unskillful in the matters of the kingdom, in the word of righteousness. For they are still babes. The Father has not win them over and give them to tutors, to train them in the word of righteousness. Because they are still babes. Because they still feed on milk. Verse 14. Then he now say, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. That full age is not 50, 60. It's a spiritual age. Even those, now, he now added another one. First of all, those who are of full age. And this talks about the young men. The full age is the age of 30. It's the age of 30. That's the full age. That's the age of adoption. The age of 30. You come to that full age. The Bible says when Moses came of full age, he refused to be called. In Pharaoh, he dropped that one. So that's a place of young men. He began to discover strength. He wants to free the people of God with the strength he has. He knows that he's a child, he's an Hebrew. And the strength he has as a young man came up upon him and he wants to fight and kill everybody he can kill and free God. But God said, no, that's not the way I'm going to do it. He has come of full age. When you come of full age, you will not stay on being called the child of Pharaoh's daughter. Many of us will still glory, my parent is this. Oh, my friend. You come to church on Sunday, and on Monday you are with your party doing this thing. You know, you are still enjoying something there. One leg in, one leg out. You have not come of age. You are still a baby. Still needing milk. Come of age. Then he now added another one, and this is the place of son of fatherhood. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good, not between good and evil, to discern both good and evil. So they discern the two of them, and they know what to apply to the two of them when they come. And they know that the two of them coming, they are coming from the same source. It is God ordering them towards him. Because they have learned that when they were a child. That when the good come, God brings it. And when the evil in quote come, they know God is behind it. And they have learned whatever. That's why Paul said, I have learned in whatever state I am to be there with content. Say, I have learned to be abased and to abound. Those are fathers. By reason of use. When things are going wrong and things are going, you ask them, how is it? Brother, it is fine. It is well. When you ask a baby, when things are going wrong, I didn't know what happened. No, I wasn't. It is a baby. It's a child. There's nothing wrong in you doing that. We comfort you. So don't say, oh, I want to automatically. It's okay. But when you see fathers, even when things are, they will tell you, it is well, because they know both the good and the evil has the same source they are coming from. He doesn't arrogate anything to the devil. He doesn't give the devil free license to operate. He knows that God is in charge of all. So they are able to discern it, and they don't mistake evil for good. You know, but they know when each one of them come, they know how to give glory to God in the midst of it. Never a dull moment. Never a complaining moment. They are not complainers. They are not murmurers. They are people that believe God unto the saving of the soul. Praise the Lamb of God. So that is the place of fatherhood. And God is bringing us there. God will continue to bring us. Like I keep saying, it is not a function of age or years. There are still many people that are 60, 70, and they are still carrying the bottle around. There are still many people that are 30, 40 that are still in childhood. So it is not, it is a funk, it is how your heart is yielded to God. To what extent has the Father captured your heart? When things are going wrong, do you know how to give him praise and worship? When things are going smooth and everything, do you know how to wait upon him? Those are the indices that determine whether you are moving on. And God desires us to grow. What we are talking about is pray in the Father's will. These are the Father's will for you. That you become mature. That you come into the state of fatherhood. That you come into the place of the rest that God has prepared for you. And the character of fathers is that they have rest. They are not fidgeting. They are not agitating. They have rest. May the Lord bring all of us to our rest. May we enter the rest that the Lord has prepared for each one of us. In all areas. In all areas. In all areas. In all areas. As young men, a lot of things come up. A lot of things does not work up. You know, you are agitated here, you want this. But as God used those things, he used those things actually to gravitate you into releasing all those things. Why? Because the Bible said in the book of, was it Deuteronomy? He said the Lord suffer you to hunger. He suffer you to hunger in the wilderness. It's not the devil that suffered them to hunger. He said the Lord suffer you that he might do what, that he might know what is in your heart. Whether you will do the will or you will obey his commandment or not. So he suffered you to hunger. That you might know that man does not live by the bread, the things of life alone, the comfort of life alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, that man live. That is a training in righteousness that God always gives to his children. That you might know that man does not live by the earthly comfort of life alone, but by the word that proceeds from the mouth of God, does man live. So Joshua and Caleb are a type of example of those who enter into fatherhood. In the midst of all the multitude, they enter in. Oh, may the Lord bring us into that level.
Amen.
Where you are not fizzled about things of life. Where you have prayed through every stage of life and you have reached your rest. You have prayed and prayed through about it. You have left it in God's presence. When the thought comes and wants to say, no, not here, not here, not here. That one, my Father is settling it. Right now, I am busy with the Father's thought. I am occupied with the Father's will right now. The Father's will is my main decision. That one is my own. I have left it with the Father. So Jesus Christ said, I have not come to do my own will. So he has his own will. But he learned to lay it down, praying in the Father's will until laying down our wills. And insisting, oh Lord, let thy will be done. That's why when the disciple came and said, Lord, teach us prayer. He said the first thing he told them is, that our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in the heavens. So when we make that our drive, Lord, it's all about your will. I let go of this. I let go of it. Whatever it is, good or whatever, and I know you will all desire good things because God has given you mind to know good things. So you desire good things. Whatever, no matter how you have come, whether it is wife or job or whatever, just give it to God. Just lay it down and face the matter of it. I tell you, he will surprise you. Oh, he will more than surprise you. More than surprise you. The Father's work. The Father's will. May we give ourselves to it more and more.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we will cap it up by looking at scriptures that expressly define what the will of God is for us, capturing all the four stages we have talked about. There are certain things that are expressly declared and that we must be familiar with as we walk with the Lord. As we walk with the Lord. And one thing I will want to first of all emphasize amongst us, particularly, we are all youths. One of the very first things that God teaches his children is to fear him. Is to fear God. I see how many of us behave when we come into the house of God. When we say we come to fellowship, many of them God allows it. And how long we are going to be with it will determine how long will God take to take us serious in our walk with him. Some come chewing gum. Some come, it's like, what are they doing there? Let's begin to leave all those childish things. Paul said, when I was a child, I behaved. I think like a child. But when I put away childish things. I love laughter. But we should, when we come into the house of God, we should put on that discipline and know when to giggle and when to keep quiet. It's part of the training in righteousness that inculcates into the heart of God's people the fear of the Lord. For when we come into an assembly, he is there. He is amongst us. Holy and mighty. When you in his presence in the heavens, where the angels and the 20 and the four elders are, and you can't see things, and then Michael and Gabriel, you know what, and then you see 124 elders chewing gum. You don't see that in his presence. Everyone fear him. Oh, my brethren, let's fear him. He will kill, and everybody will praise him for killing. Let's fear God. Please, brethren. Let's not take him for granted. He's not your mate. When we go into the church, we say, when we are going to your class, it's different. When you are going for your friend's party, it's different. But when we say, brethren, we are going to fellowship with the Father, know that he's dear, he's mighty. Oh, you go to, let Trudeau be having a meeting. Let Trudeau be having a meeting somewhere. And then you get there, or any of these lawyer, and then you get there, they will just carry you and say, please, can you go out? If we know, if men know how to revere the presence of earthly king when they are seated, okay, maybe because we're in democracy, we may not. Go to the Queen of England. Go to Buckingham Palace. And the queen is sitting and you are chewing gum. One metropolitan police will come and say, yeah, go, get out. You are not needed here. Brethren, when we are children, let's begin to put away all child. God is calling us to maturity. There are a lot of things that one seabed, you just pray and say, God, please just move us on. Because at a certain level, some of them should drop out. Some of them should begin to drop off by now. Some will come into the place of rest, and that's when you will cross leg and be watching film and say, what are they doing there? You don't know how to fall on your faces. I remember in those days when we say fellowship time, people are there 15 minutes to the time, not minding the cloth they wear, they are on their faces crying. Prayer meeting, prayer start like this, people are on their faces rolling on the ground, crying and asking God for mercy. The fear of God is so much in the camp that prophecy is going on. Nobody lift somebody. A prophecy was going on and somebody wanted to lift up his head. An angel of the Lord came and pressed his head down. Bow down your head. The Lord is in his house. This person came and talked to me privately. We are in a meeting and a prophecy and somebody stood up and was prophesying. And you know, he just wanted to leave and he saw a hand coming and press his head down. Why? Because the Lord is in his temple. Let everyone be silent. May we come to that state whereby we know when the Lord is in his temple, we know how to be quiet, how to be reverencing. If you don't have anything to say, if you don't have anything to say, pray in tongue, worship God. Let us know how to reverence. He said that thou mayest know how to behave in the house of God. He said, oh, it doesn't matter. My spirit is connected to God. It matters. So I can do anything I like. It matters. It's the same spirit going in the world. It doesn't matter. I can dress anyhow. My heart is too connected to God. He said, worship the Lord with your spirit and your soul and your body. You come and say, sit down, it's time to pray. You sit down like this. You know, who are you? Care what anointing you think you have on your head. Learn to bow down. Say, come, let us worship and what? And bow down. Say, I'm bowing down in my spirit. What happened to your body? Is it not the owner of your body? Who gave it to you? It's time for us to begin to know how to worship him with our spirit, our soul, and our body. When we come and say, Lord, this is a time of fellowship. This is the time we are having with God. You drop every other thing. You come there. You forget about every other person. You bow down your knee. You bow down. You go on your face. And call upon the Lord God of Israel. What you don't know is that what you are doing will distract others. So we bring a lot of distractions in. A lot of distractions. And those are grieving to the spirit. Brethren, let's begin to put all those things. When we come and say, it is fellowship. Okay, now it's in the house. Brethren, it takes record though. It takes record. Say, it doesn't matter. Nobody see me. So let me just do anyhow. You are cooking in the kitchen. You know, preparing meal. And put your by your side. Let us begin to put all those things aside. Whether we are in person or in visiting, let's maintain that attitude of divine reverence. Holy and reverence is his name. May the Lord God Almighty of heaven teach us to reverence him and teach us to fear him and fear him indeed. Hallelujah. Psalm 25. What did he say? Verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such that keep his covenant and his testimony. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is it that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way. Him shall he God make known his will to. We're talking about knowing the will of God, the way of God, the counsel of God. They are all the same. If you don't fear the Lord, he won't make it known to you. So what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall the Lord teach his will. Shall the Lord make his will known to him that he has chose. Verse 13. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that what? That fear him. I said the will of God is the secret of God concerning your life. It's the secret code. And it's only given to those that fear him. So let's fear the Lord. That is the commandment. Fear the Lord. Fear ye the Lord. Don't come in reverence into his presence. Who are you? Fear him. He doesn't need you. You need him. He can do without you 1,000,000 times over. That you can't do without him. So when you come into his presence, you come with that sense. When the Bible talk about fear the Lord, he's the same word. The meaning is phobo. Cringe. Have you been in a situation where maybe an armed robber will lay you and stop you in the road with the gun cocked? Do you start a twitching gun? Hey, Ogasa, you didn't see. He says, sit down there. You don't think twice before you jump down and sit down, Guam. Now, if we do that for mortal men at this thing, how much more the Almighty God? Let's fear him. And the fear of the Lord is life, is joy to those who have been exercised by it, is peace with God. It's not an oppressive fear. It's not a fear that makes you know. When you fear him, you come boldly before his presence. All the sense of whatever is gone away, you die. Nothing like that. So he said, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He said, the Lord will give you that the Lord might give all the heritage of those that fear him. There is a particular heritage prepared for those that fear him. It's not just for anybody. There are heritage for every other person. But those who fear him, he has something special for them. I want to partake in that one. The Bible says Jesus feared. He prayed earnestly and he was heard in that word. He feared. How can the Son of God, who came from the bosom of the Father, who knew the Father in all respect, came to this earth and live and walk with the Father with fear and trembling? And then you and me that God saved through him, we can now take things and take it as though, well, it doesn't matter. It's in my heart. Whatever is in your heart should be reflected in your body. And that's why many are still struggling with some sins, struggling with it, because you have never been schooled in the act of reverential behavior before God. Many of you have given your life to Christ, you've been in church for this thing, but yet we still need to be tutoring you, don't do this, this is it. Because you have not known what it is to fear the Lord. And we have pampered you with all our, sister, okay, we come out, and okay, it's okay. You have not known, and that you will remain a baby. Still struggling with whether to watch pornography and all this thing, because you have not known the fear of the Lord. Yeah, we have to pray for you today and minister to you tomorrow. This and that. It's because you have not known. And we have also been accomplices. You know, oh, okay, sister, it's okay. It doesn't matter. Anyhow, just give it to God. Brethren, the time has come for you and me to know who we truly serve. and to fear him. So we will take one or two of such expressly. This is express command. This is not, an advice, this and this. This is an express command of his will to you and me. And we will take it. We will take two of them, and then we will just start praying. Oh, there are three of them, but we will just take them and rush to them. Just pardon me, please, brethren. First Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 3. First Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 3. I'm going to read from Amplified Version. It said, for this is the will of God, express. No any magomago. This is the will of God, that you should be consecrated, separated, and set apart for pure and holy living. Set apart. A vessel set apart for holy living. That you should abstain and shrink from sexual vices, unclean vices, pornography, masturbations, watching unclean things, getting unduly attached to male brothers of opposite sex. You can't just break your mind free from thinking things that are unclean. That is against God's will. And when the time comes, God, I want you to show me my husband. I want you to show me my wife. God will answer you according to the idol in your heart. He will use that idol in your heart. Say it's lost. He will tell, is that girl you want? Oh yeah, go. Go. The Bible said they cried for meat. He gave them meat and he sent leanness to their soul. While they were eating it, it was killing them. Okay. He was killing them. While he was blessing them, they cried for meat. He gave it to them. And he sent leanness, dry. Oh, Jesus, save us from leanness of soul. When leanness coming, you are just outside. You can be coming to church and everybody seeing you clapping out, brother, sister, but you are completely outside. You are a stranger in the house. You are not of the commonwealth of Israel. You have no part in the commonwealth of Israel. He said, this is the will of God. It's not joking. Your consecration, your holy living, your separation from all idols, uncleanness. It is the express will of God. God is not joking about it. He said, I have called you to be holy unto me. He said, be ye holy, for your Father in heaven is holy. Your holiness and holy living is the express will of God. Sexual vices. The whole atmosphere is charged with sexuality. And minds of believers are being razzle-dazzle with it. The time has come for you and me to break free from all those activities. If you are still in there and you are still glued to pornography, what do they call it? Pornography. You, in fact, and you have been in the fellowship, and you are demon and do all those, you better go and cry to God to save your soul and look for people to pray for you, because your sin will find you out. You can be doing it and be hiding, and nobody know. One day it will find you out. The day is coming very shortly. Your sin will find you out. Say, hey, it is me. I'm doing it too. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Lord? Will you fight against the Lord who owns your body? Possess, he said, that each one of you should know how to possess, how to manage, how to bring under. Paul said, I bring my body under subjection. I bring it under control. If you cannot bring the passion of this body under control, you are still very far away from the kingdom. I don't care what you think you know, the Bible you can quote makes no difference. If you are still playing in and around of this thing, you are still far away. And God is asking, the time is short, brethren. The time is short. We don't have long time anymore. We don't have much time. That's why we are crying like this. That's why we are shouting like this. There is no more time. Time no longer. And what When the rain comes, when the fullness, it is what is in you that will come up. If lust is in you, before you are hiding it, that time it will grow up. You can't say, oh, when the manifestation comes, it will not drop. It will show up. If lust is there, it will show up. If anger is there, it will show up. Anything, it will show up. Malice, hypocrisy, all those things will show up. When the rain comes, it is what the seed meet on the ground that will spring up. So he said, the ground that receives rain from above and is supposed to bring forth fruit and is bringing forth thorns and thistles, what is it? He will be cursed and be rejected. Brethren, let us awake to righteousness. Let's quit ourselves and begin to walk in true holiness. He said, this is the will of God. It is the counsel of God. It is the will of God. That if you are seeking the will of God, this is number one. This is number one. You are, oh, I want to know the will of God. This is number one. If you are not walking in this, forget about all other things. Forget about them. Holiness unto the Lord. No compromise. Verse 4. That each one of you should know how to possess, how to control and manage his own body in consecration, purity, separate from things that are profane and honor, and not to be used in the passion of lust like the heathen, who are ignorant of the truth of God and have no knowledge of his will. They have no knowledge of it. The heathen doesn't have. You have the knowledge of his will. What is his will? Your holiness. Your consecration. Your separation from hidden practices. That no man transgress and overreach his brother and defraud him in this matter or defraud his brother in business. For the Lord is an avenger in all these things. As we have already warned you solemnly and told you plainly. First one, the will of God is that you live holy. Live holy unto the Lord. The next one, in the book of John, 3 John chapter 1 verse 2, he said, behold, above all things, I wish that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Our prosperity is God's own will. God does not will that any of his children go through life in poverty, in lack. Now, you may not, like I always say, you may not have your bank account stocked up with millions, but your daily need should be met. It is God's will. And when you are in a place and you find out that your will, that the daily need, what you need, what you, you know, to you are owing people, you are in debt here, you are not paying your bill, you can't pay your this thing, it's time for you to pause, you know, and find out, Lord, what is going on? What is going on? Jacob told God, he said, Lord, if you will give me food and something else, he asked for it, say, I will build a house for you. He said, having food and raiment, let us be what? They are with content. Those are basic. God is committed to providing us the basic that will keep us alive. You must be able to pay your bill. You must be able to pay up your debt. You must be able to live. You know, you may not have abundance that you can name, but the basic of life, God has assured you. And when it is not, you have the right. First of all, search yourself. Is all things well? Because from God, nothing is wrong. So if there's something wrong, it must be you. What happened to Isaac? Isaac went to, God told him, don't go to Egypt. Stay in Philistine here. And he stood there and the Philistine made life precarious for him. He would dig one well, they will close it. He did not stop there. He did not say, well, okay, this is the only well I dig. Okay, let me stay there. Whatever I come, and begin to pray, God, deal with the Philistine. Deal with them. Destroy them. No. He moved from there. He moved to another one again and dig another one. And they took it again. No contention. He moved another one and dig it again. And then before he got to his Rehoboth, and there the Bible said there was no contention. So sometimes it might entail you having a conference when you discover that life situations and circumstances is becoming precarious. You are not free. You are owing here. You are financially and things of life are not just adding up. It's time for you to have a conference with God. It's time for you to have a meeting with God. And God will tell you. He has done that to me once. And he has done this several other times. But I know a specific time. He told me, he said, look, son, you have overstayed your place here. Move. He said, first of all, he said, change all your friends. That's what he told me. I went to seek his face because things were not working well. I was literally living on my wife's income. And I said, Lord, it can't be like this. What do I do? And God said, change all your professional friends, all your associates, all my people that I always get. He said, change them. Ah, these are the people that give me little job, 10,000. When I just change them, God said, do away with all of them. And it's not easy. At least they always give me some contract, 1,000, 2,000, and they can give me a contract of 2,000 and they can take 6 months to pay it. You know, so that you have even borrowed and borrowed and overborrowed the thing and the thing is not working. And I said, Lord, what will I do? I can't continue like this. An embarrassment to your name. An embarrassment to the gospel. Lord, you have a covenant over my life. What do I do? The first thing he said is, all the people you have ever known in contract dealing, sack all of them. Just write them off. Don't even relate to them anymore. It wasn't easy. I said, Lord, I will do that. So I just cut all of them off. Cut all of them off. And God began to bring my own. Oh, my God. Oh, our God is a good God. The first one that came, the first one I will not forget. When he finished calculating all the fee, which the other ones, they will not even calculate it. Maybe they collect 4 million. They will just call you, hey, Sam, we are giving you 10,000. At that time, they will not give you immediately. They will give you maybe 3, 4 months. You go, tired, no money. This one, immediately we did, he calculated, that is the way consultant obey. He calculated it, how much came in, how much is my, and he put my check inside it. Said, this is your money. I said, oh my God. This was the first time I was meeting that one. After all the other one had gone. So sometimes God may want you to change certain thing. Change your career. Change your pattern. Change things. That if you say, hey, this is where my father has been. This is where God asked me to stay. I will just stay here. You will stay there and disgrace the gospel. May the Lord help us. So God, the Bible says God delight in the prosperity of his servant. The prosperity of God's servant is his delight. He said, God, give up power to make wealth. Brethren, you have power to make wealth. That same power of the gospel given to you of God. It's not just, oh, just preach the gospel and just get people saved alone. In it has what it takes to provide for all your needs. God wants his people to be rich. Now, when I say rich, I don't mean that, oh, you have millions, you have cars. You know, you mean, but at least basic things of life. It is the will of God. If you don't know it now. It is the will of God that you are debt free. It is the will of God that you pay up all your debt. It is the will of God that you provide for yourself and for your home. It is the will of God. If it is not that, you go to God and petition him. He will answer you. He will give you a counsel. He will give you a word. And he will show you what to do. Hallelujah. Then the last one, which is our express will of God. And this have to do. And this is one thing about God's will, you know, encompasses all our journey in life unto glory. He also has a will ordained for you at the final day. What did he say in the book of John chapter 6 verse 39? And this is the Father's will, which had sent me, that of all which had given to me, I should lose nothing, but should what? Raise it up again in the last day. And he repeats it again in verse 40, to raise them up. Your resurrection is God's will. Now, how does that apply to you now? And that's where that's why I picked this one. Because many times, oh, that is, Jesus Christ came to say, oh, I know in the resurrection and in the last day. And he told them, look, I am the resurrection. So if God planned resurrection for you in the last day, what do you think he will be doing? He will be killing you? No. He will be raising you up. He'll be raising you up. For you have come from the realm of the dead. And he has quickened you together with him. And you are raised up. So he's gradually raising you up until the final day when he will bring the final raising up. Resurrection is both progressive and instantaneous at the end. So if he has this for you in the last day, right now that the progressive one is going on, you are being raised up day by day. As you die to sin, die to flesh, that he raised you up. He said, this is the Father's will, your resurrection. So say, my resurrection is the Father's will. I will enjoy the blessing of resurrection. Amen. What are the blessings of resurrection? Out from the midst of the dead. All death and dying processes are silenced. Sickness, diseases, and even poverty. They are all part of death and dying processes. They are all totally wiped away on the account of the resurrection glory and power of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord God Almighty, we appreciate you. We refuse to live less than what you have ordained for us. We account ourselves as servants, as children of God. And so we are. Though the world may not know us, but we know that you know. And we take our place and we say, blessed be the name of our God. Thank you, holy and mighty God. Be thou exalted, Father. Lord, I pray for everyone and for myself, that none of us will miss it at the end. Amen. None of us in this journey you have put on, none of us will miss it. Amen. I pray, Lord, that you continue to teach us to fear thy name. Give us in the heritage of them that fear you. Help us, O God, that, Lord, our age will not be a barrier to us. Amen. That we break through the barrier of age and we come into the wisdom of the Ancient of Days. Amen. That many of us and even all of us will begin to walk by the wisdom of the Ancient of Days. Amen. That we begin to put away all childishness and all frivolity and carelessness. And we begin to deal and attend to the things of God with deep seriousness. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That we no longer take you for granted. That we no longer take you be familiar. All familiarity with God, we begin to deal with them. We begin to take you in the fervency of your spirit with reverential fear. Let this be our lot, O God. That when we pray, we learn how to pray in the midst of your will. Lord God Almighty, teach us to pray in the midst of your will. Enable us to pray in the midst of your will. Oh, Rababo Shteparobda Bamasandi. You say your house shall be called a house of prayer. Oh, God, make us to pray in line with your will. Let the spirit of prayer, supplication, come upon us as never before. Ah, Lord God Almighty. Oh, God, that whatever has been hindering us and harassing us will be dropped off in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, we bless you and worship you. We bless you and worship you. Masombrele baboshtena. Exeta romne gabosta. Ebremosto kaporanda. Lord, I pray, Lord, any of your children that, Lord, is struggling with one thing or the other in their life, and that struggle is keeping them away from being able to walk with you and serve you. Let all the struggle come to an end. We break every limitation. We break every bondages. We set the captives free in the name of Jesus. Let your children come into the liberty that you have called us in Christ. No longer in bondage to the elements of this world. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we just bless you. We lift up holy hands and worship you. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Say, God, mature me in the spirit. Mature me in the spirit. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding to begin to walk with you. To begin to walk in your ways. Help me to put away all childishness, all babyish attitude, and begin to walk with you in fear and in trembling, and know how to conduct myself in the house of God, to put away all frivolity. Oh Lord, help me. Help me to see Jesus. Help me to follow him whithersoever he go. He said, these are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he go. Oh Lord, have mercy. Oh Lord, thank you. Oh Lord, thank you. Lord, move over this house right now. Move over this house. We know we are separated in physical distance, but let the move of the Spirit come upon us as a brood of the Holy Spirit. Let the wings of the eagle be spread upon us. Oh Lord, oh Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just bless you. We worship you. It is done. It is done. Amen. It is done. It is done. It is done. It is hallelujah. Glory to God. I understand some have questions. Please go on. Please ask your question.
Yeah, sorry, uncle.
Yeah.
So there are 4 questions, and although the time is fast spent, so we'll just see how we would think then. So if one person has 2 questions to ask here, and then there are 2 questions that are written down. So I don't know how you want to take it. We just ask all the questions, or you take them one by one.
What time are we supposed to close?
We are supposed to close.
1:30. Okay, and we are not packing up chairs today. So, okay, so we have about 23 more minutes.
How many? 23?
Yeah, 23 more minutes.
23 more minutes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, okay, so let's see, we can take the questions. Just leave it like that. Leave it like that. So that one by one. I can even read them here. Just scroll it up. But read it out. Read it out all the same.
Okay. Mercy, you can ask the questions you have.
Please, Mercy, go ahead and ask the question.
All right, sir. So the first question was, you said that the people who might not have taken in the milk when they were in the phase of being babies and they might end up being dwarfed or something like that. So, I was thinking this might have been maybe a result of their background or maybe at that phase when they were still new in the faith. Maybe they didn't just have interest for the milk of the word. So what would they now do when they're in the phase when they're supposed to be sons and father? Because it kind of seemed like it would affect them at that stage. So what would they do? And then the other question was, can a person be in more than one phase? Like, can a person be a child and a son at the same time? Or are there climax of transition from phase to phase? So can a person be a child where they're still being trained and schooled, and yet they're still trying to do the business of the father.
Yeah, those are beautiful questions, and they help me to at least to address something. I will answer the second one before the first one. Can somebody be in one phase and still be in another phase? Very correct. You see, when I say baby, child, you don't say, I had grow baby, therefore everything about the baby is no longer in requirement. No. All the things that God has taught you as a baby, they remain with you, so that even in the Lord, when you come to the Lord, you are still a baby. When it comes to you in relating to Christ, that's why he's breasted. We all still take from the pap, from that meat. We all still take, no matter how old you are or how you become a father, we still need that is the breasted one that is still feeding his house. So he's still feeding us. So, but when you have learned to feed on that meat, when you have desired it, it becomes a desire that grows up with you. You know the father's milk. You cannot take any other milk, no matter how it is. You know, you desire it and you continue to desire. That desire continue to grow in tempo. So when you are a father, you still use the element you know when you are a baby to tap of that milk. The how you go to take that milk, if God has taught you when you are a baby, to just read the word of God chapter by chapter. You know, or some read it by topic. Or some read it, you know, by verses. You know, God has trained you. You have grown to love God's word, that you know how to go into it and pick and read it and internalize it. That is the period. That is the period. When you study babies, each one of them have a difference on how they take in the milk. For instance, even in our midst, when Brother Joel wants to drink, just make sure the milk is there.
Right.
Put it in his mouth. He will hold it for you. He will hold it. He doesn't have struggle with it. Whether you are busy, you can do another thing.
Right.
I have watched him. Just put the milk there. He will hold it there. And when he's drinking, we remove it and throw it away. Well, It's not like that for Joseph. You have to put it there and hold it. You know? So, the way everyone, but the truth about it, all of them desire the milk. They all wanted the milk. If they don't give the milk, they will cry. If a child is not drinking milk, you better carry him to the hospital. It means something is wrong. And when a child is not desiring his milk, it means that something is wrong. So as long as they are desiring their milk, they are eating, you are a fine mother. You can be rejoicing. So what you have learned on how to take in the word of God, what God has, some people just read, they read it by topic. Oh, I want to study on righteousness. Oh, I want to go and read about some people study by persons. I want to learn about David. You know, my wife does a lot of that. I want to learn the life of Jonathan. And she takes persons. You know, that is how the Lord has communicated the word to him. My own is totally different from that. You know, so every one of us, so you have learned, and we learned this at our baby stage when we came to know the Lord. Now, if you are, so it goes along with you. When you become even an adult, when you become a man, a young man, you still need all the things you have learned when you are a child. You need all those things. Now, what happened is this. And when somebody does not have a good schooling in the baby stage, he has not defined how he goes into the world. He said he will give you pasture so that you can go in and out and find pasture for your soul. So if a man that gets the start of God has not known how to go in and out of the scripture and get pasture for his soul and get, you know, nugget for his soul, if he has not known that, if he has not developed such a great appetite for the word of God, and the man now go and wanted to begin to do the things that belong to the young men, ministering and casting out devils and trying to mimic something, he will run into problems. He will run into problems. And that's why we have all this, you know, on school ministry all over the place. So that is it, this thing. Each one of them, as you grow, there is transition stage. But the transition stage is such done that while you are transiting to one, you are still doing the other one. You are still doing it. So it's not that I had grown that, I no longer. No. You still, in fact, the intensity of you doing it become increased. When you enter school, you learn A, B, C, D, 1 plus 1, 2, 2 plus 2, 4. When you get to secondary school, you start doing admas and all that. Do you throw away 2 plus 2? No. You say, I don't need 2 plus 2 again. And then you go and invent your own 2 plus 2. You will score 0. And then when you get to university, you start doing engineering mathematics. You know, and start doing a triple degree calculus. You know, and all that. You still need your 2 plus 2. When you get to an answer and you see 2 plus 2, you say, well, the one I learned in the nursery school is nursery school. Now 2 plus 2 in university is different. 2 plus 2, it must be 2 is equals to 2, and 2 may be, you know, and you just waste your time. You still need it and take it there. So that is it. We don't outgrow one because they are all God's process. Because, well, we use natural baby, but in the spirit, it's totally different. It's totally different. The spiritual growth. Yes, we can use natural growth as a type, but not exactly. Because it is different in the spirit. It still depends on him. We still look unto him. Until the resurrection morning. In fact, the more you grow, the more you want to lean upon him. The more you want to depend upon him. As you grow, the more you desire the milk, you can't do anything. So that is that, brother and sister Mercy.
They are muted. Why did they
mute
us?
Maybe it was a mistake. Hello.
Somebody, you have to come on mute, please.
So are we still within the time?
Yeah, we're still within the time. But they can't hear you anymore.
Okay.
Sorry,
sorry, I've muted. Are you hearing me now?
Did you hear?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Did you hear what I said?
We lost the last 8 seconds.
Okay. So what I'm saying necessarily is that as we grow in God, the more you grow, the more you lean, the more you need the milk. The more you want to take of that milk of his word. Yes, it can become strong bone. He can give it to you as strong bone. But you still need, that's why he's the breasted one. He said, when I saw him with guard about the pap with a golden girdle. That is Christ in his full estate. Hallelujah. And he's walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. The church. What is he doing? Feeding the church. With the pure word, giving it to them. So we never, in the spirit, you never say, oh, I'm no more a baby, this thing. Yes, you put away childish things in the world. Like if a baby is complaining, all those murmuring, lust, and all those things, bitterness, anger, all those things that characterize, wants to add themselves to babies, you throw them away. But the aspect of growing, he said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The aspect of growth that you have learned in that, you don't put it aside. You continue in it. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. He said, can a person be a child where they are still being trained and schooled, yet try to do the business of the father like sons? Yes. But then the person, before you can start doing the father's business like a son, you must have come into the age of maturity. You have come to the adoption. You must have come to that age, that young. That's why I say, I write unto young men, because you are strong. The word of God abide in you, and you have overcome the evil one. You know, it is doing the father's business. If it is not something that is going to be putting you in the public domain, you know, where you be, people begin to do this and that, and you know, look, I'm still learning things, you know, and you begin to spread yourself and begin to, you know, the Bible talk about John. The Bible say he was in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth. You know, and David also. There was a time he was being trained, you know, with bears and lions and all that, until the time come when he can face Goliath. So if he has not killed his bears and lion and he meet Goliath, he probably will run away. And nobody will fault him because he's still a child. So if you have not dealt you dealt with your lions and bear when you are a child. That's when you deal with them. You deal with your lion, and that's when you deal with them. And when you have dealt with them, when you get to them, to the younger place, you are able to do the father's business. You are able to fight the battles of the Lord. That's why when David got to the battle and he saw Goliath, he said, what is this dead dog people are afraid of? This one is defiling my father. He's into his father's business. He moved straight into the father's business. How? Because he had taken time to deal with the Goliath. That one he deal with them. His bear. Those are the demons and witches he dealt with when he was a child. He dealt with them. He's no longer afraid of them. So that is it. So if somebody have not totally dealt with those things, he's still having anger. He's still struggling with bitterness, with pride. He's still going in and out of photography. What do they call that thing? Pornography. He's still going in and out of it, and he wants to go and do the father's business. He will fall flat. Oh, my brethren, I have seen it. Sorry, I have to make this term, but it's an example I make with a deep sense of this thing. I don't know how many of you heard about the man Jimmy Swaggart. Mm. Oh, the day I heard that thing, I cried. Oh my God, I wept. Because Jimmy Swaggart when he started preaching those times, oh God, you just love him. You just love him. The anointing was there. The grace was there. We all loved him when Jimmy Swaggart. And when that thing happened, oh my God, that was around 82, 83. Oh, I felt it. And what happened? Well, I was now reading his account. He said, this thing has been with me when I was 16 years old. And that he has, that he normally sneak to go and watch, when he was still a minister, he would go and watch nude women dancing. He's still watching pornography. At the time he was standing to minister to the, when Swaggart is preaching, it's broadcasted all over the world. When he's preaching in, is it Tulsa? They are the one that started club, tele-evangelist. They are the one that started club 007. The one that this guy is now, this thing. No, that's before TBN. Oh. They are the one that started club 007. You know, Jimmy Swaggart and this other guy, I've forgotten his name now. You know, 700 Club. You know, they are the one that started it. When he started preaching, the whole world from America to Arabia, everywhere, they are listening. And we see them sending messages to him and all that and all that. When that thing happened and what happened? He went, there was a day ago, I was just going and I saw the lady still talking. And they were asking him, because this guy was weeping. And they were asking the lady, and when you saw him repenting and weeping, what did he say? He's just an hypocrite. He just go to the lady and, you know, and they go to the hotel together and the cinema, I mean, the television, I mean, the press men were there. You know, so he carried the lady into the room and they took the picture. It became the headline. That was the fall of that man. That's why today you don't hear about Jimmy Swaggart. But he said by himself, he said, look, I have this problem since I was a youth, since I, you know, so he gave his life to Christ, you know, and continue. Maybe watching pornography, you know. Of course, that's what he said he did. And at some time, he go out to beer parlor to go and watch nude lady play dance. And the enemy kept setting him until that time he was at the peak of his ministry. When he just fell down. That is it. When somebody has not been schooled in that place of child and know how to reject, he has not sufficiently eaten the honey and the butter. So he still allowed things, he's still accommodating after nobody's looking at me. You get to your room and then you open one page. You saw a nude lady there. And you cannot bind that spirit and cleanse yourself and close it and format your laptop. Format everything. You know, and then you come to the fellowship. It's time for fellowship. You're only deceiving yourself. Your sin will find you out. When the time comes, you will just discover you are naked. You know, so that was what happened there. So when a person has not thoroughly schooled and get the lesson he need as a child, and he goes and start doing the father's business, and he did not quickly attend to it because he had the opportunity. He has ministers who have come to him and told him, and said, look, watch this, and he's too high up there. He won't listen to them. And that's what happened when you begin to have success. When you begin to wave on like this and be big, because anointing has a place to just deceive you. Us deceive you. And that's why I keep telling people that the anointing God gave for Pentecost is for burial. It's not for showmanship, it's for burial. So bury the dead, that the new man might come alive in the resurrection. So God gave it to us so that whatever is wanting to embarrass us, we use it to deal with it. And sometimes God can help you to use it or deal with it in others. Praise the Lord. So that is it. So the first question, it was said that there might be people who did not take the milk when they were in the phase of being a baby and might end up being a dwarf. Yeah, that's what happened. That's what happened. When you do not take the correct nutrient that you're supposed to take, you become a spiritual dwarf. And in the book of Leviticus chapter 11, they are not allowed to minister in the house. They are not allowed, but you are allowed to go and start all over. Such people, what you do is that you go back again to the kindergarten and start learning the basic. But if the pride and because, oh, how can me? I've been saved for 5 years. Everybody have known me. I still go, no. Let me start moving on. You are heading off for destruction. So they become spiritual midgets. They can't grow. Because it is the sincere milk that make you to grow. The needed gene, the needed nutrient that kick up the growth has been abandoned at that stage. So you keep growing and keep growing. Why? Because of the milk that you have taken in you. So it is important if you discover at that point, if the person discovers that, I am already, I'm not yet schooled in the word of God. I'm still going in and out of the, in fact, sometimes I may not even read my Bible for days. It's only when we come to fellowship, you better go back and say, God, I have mercy on me. I want to make friends with your word. I want to make friends with your word. I want to receive your word. And that is it. Okay? This might have been a result of their background. Yes, it might be a result of the background. Because if you grow in some of these Pentecostal churches, where all they care about is that you come to church, they don't care about your soul. They don't care about whether you are reading your Bible or not. They don't care about it. All they care, is that brother is coming and you are bringing fat at this thing. Nobody cares. That's why you have many of them spiritual midgets in the house. So what do you do at that time? Come out of the midst of her. That's why we keep talking to people. Come out. Come away from that jail houses. Come into the place where you can be exposed to the light of God's word. So that you can do the Father's business. That's why we come like this and meet like this in this forum. That's why we call for this. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that we can do the Father's business. So that we can grow into sonship. Sonship is the call of God. Go into the sonship with God. Amen. What can they do if they were not meant to? What can they do if they are now meant to be in the face of being sons of God? They need to go back and learn. You know, go back to the principle, to the basic principle. Amen. Then the other question, is the will of God for a person's life singular? Or can there be multiple purposes at a time? Okay, it depends on how you are looking at it. I've said it before. The will of God is one. Yes.
This person you are reading after this, there's another question. But right now, it's one teacher has basically lost me. So,
okay. Okay. Maybe we should do it this way.
And there's another question.
Okay, let's do it this way. Mercy, are you okay with that?
It's perfect, sir.
You are okay. So we can do. So the other two, can you just send it to me, maybe by text, and then as God's will or allow, we might just take it and put it together so that everybody will know it. Or what do we think?
Or maybe next Sunday we continue. Yes.
It depends on what we feel like. Okay, so we can look at it and take questions. So you can get all your questions ready. And then we go into the questions on this thing. Brethren, this is a very important this thing. I'm talking to myself too. You know, please let's no more time no longer. There's an urgency in the spirit. There's a call, come up hither. God is calling his people to a higher level of walking with him. And I remember I read from one of my Watchman book. He said, if you hear a voice say, come up hither, and the voice came to you, and for a split second, you think about something very important, maybe your wife or your children. Oh, if I come up hither now, my children, my wife. He said, at that point in time, you may be asked to leave and just stay where you are. The circle have to come again. Maybe you have to go through another 3 or 4 years for that call to come up to you. So the call to the kingdom, to the throne, is not an everlasting call. It's not a call that goes on forever. There's a time space for it. So if God is calling you and say, my son, you have stayed long in the place of baby. I want you to come into the place of this. And say, okay, let me see this thing. You say, okay, stay there. You know, he said, Ephraim, I've chosen this thing. Let him alone. You know, so stay there. You know, but God will not say, let him alone to us. He says, say not unto me, sleep on. You know, the disciples were sleeping. They said, pray that you may know they were sleeping. He said, okay, sleep on. you know, may God not tell you sleep on. May God tell you to awake. When you hear awake, may you get up and say, Lord, I'm awakened. May we hear the cry of the Son of God in the name of Jesus. So we take the remaining question and any other question and we begin to look at it, God helping us next week. So let's begin to talk to the Lord. Chidara, please just take over.
Let us begin to talk to the Lord. Let us begin to receive great grace before God. Let's come before Him, you know, reverencing Him with godly fear. Let us say, oh Lord, show us mercy. Show us your mercy. Continue to reveal unto us, as you have done right now, the abundance of your will. Or if we have had, you know, shady backgrounds, if we have spent time, you know, in doing other things and not working in alignment, that this day, as this word has come unto us, there shall be a restoration. God Almighty will restore us. He will restore, He will redeem the times indeed for us. And we will begin to grow in the various stages, from babyhood down to fatherhood. Oh, that the Lord God Almighty, as this one has come, that there is much grace for them. There is much grace for an ascension. There is much grace for progress. Oh, that God in His mercy will look upon us. We've heard various aspects of the world today, and there are various aspects, various things. The Lord has come to us in high energy, has come unto us. And we have had various aspects that have ministered unto us. Let's take it to the Lord in prayers. Not only here, but even as we leave this place. But let's say, oh Lord God, grant me help. To begin, grant me alignment. And the Lord will begin to align us. And the Lord will begin to cause us to walk in the order of His will. First thing that was mentioned is that the will of God is that we come into the image of His Son. The will of God was also mentioned is that we are held up in health, in prosperity. But that first one, that we come into the knowledge of the Son, let's say, oh Lord God, let your will have its perfect peace in me. And we will begin to move joyfully in progressive sanctification, progressive resurrection. We will begin to interact with each day with joy, with much joy. The joy of the hope of salvation, the joy of the hope of the fullness of salvation, the assurance of the fullness of salvation. How exciting it is! So exciting. When that is established in our heart, there can be no distraction, no gloominess, no discouragement. Let's say, oh Lord God, help me. Cause me to come into the fullness of your will. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Let us talk to the Lord. Spend a little time. The next 2 minutes, let's talk to the Lord. And after that next 2 minutes, we are going to call on Brother Shegun Olumoroti to pray for us after that 2 minutes. To lead us in prayer. Brother Shegun Olumoroti is there after 2 minutes. But let's just pray. Let's ask God to grant us help. Let's ask God. You know, let's ask Him for mercy.
Mercy, Lord.
If you have walked in the past, you know, taking the things of God lightly, the gathering of His people lightly, the Lord has spoken to us today about godly fear, about that, the fear of the Lord being installed in our hearts. And He says that in that fear, there is life, there is salvation. Let's say, oh Lord God, walk in me the spirit of fear, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, that it might take root in our lives, that we might begin to interact with Him as unto not just a father, but as unto the great King.
Yes, Lord.
Let's just ask God. There's much mercy that has been given unto us. Much mercy. Lord, the fact that this has been revealed unto us is the is would mercy of God. Let's say, oh Lord, according to the spirit of this mercy that has caused these words, these good words to be dispensed unto us, let that mercy uphold us. Let it keep us. Let it cause us to stand. We shall not be found wanting. But when the balances of this world come to weigh us, we shall not be found wanting. Let's say, oh Lord God, grant help. Cause us to ascend. Tell us that we shall receive the call to come up hither, and we shall not think twice. We shall ascend unto glory. Oh, Father, we bless you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Brother Shevon, if you are there, please just pray for us. Just round us up in prayer.
Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We bless your holy name. For again, you have made yourself so evident in our midst. We receive you with joy and gladness in our hearts. We say thank you, Almighty God. Thank you, our mighty and everlasting Father, for having mercy, O God, to draw us to yourself. For having mercy, Lord, to come to us this evening, this afternoon. He said you will come to your to us as a refiner's fire and as a fuller's soap.
Hallelujah.
We say, hallowed be your name, O God. We receive you into ourselves. We receive you into our hearts. We receive your word, O God, to drive away anything contrary to you in us, Lord. For you have told us clearly that we will manifest what is in us. Oh, Lord God Almighty, we receive your word. We open ourselves to you, Lord. You said your hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, Lord. Anything that we have believed that does not, that is contrary to your will, that is against your word, Lord, let your hail sweep away those refuge of lies in us, that we will present every man perfect in Christ Jesus Christ. You said, you gave us your word. You said, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. Lord, we receive the grace, O God, to walk perfect. You said, your word is the power of God unto salvation. Lord, we receive the power, O God. We receive the grace. We receive the divine enablement to walk before you and be perfect.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
You said, fear not, little flock, for it is your, the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And you said that you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Yes, Lord.
Therefore, Lord, we don't look at where we are right now.
Yes.
We look at you.
We look unto
we
Jesus.
We look at you, who is the author and the finisher
of our
faith. We look at you, for in you our change comes.
Amen.
You said, beholding us in a glass, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image. From glory to glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. From grace to grace.
Amen.
From faith to faith. We look to you, O God, for our change. We rejoice in you, Lord, as
Hallelujah.
We are being changed into your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
We rejoice, O God, in your salvation. You are able to change us. You are able to save us, even to the uttermost, Lord. Oh, we say, bless your holy name. You said you have invited us into your chambers. Oh, and in your chambers there is rejoicing. You said you will make us to eat of the fatness of your house. You said you will make us to drink of the rivers of delight. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Freely, Lord, freely. And with all our hearts, we eat of the fatness of your house.
Amen.
We drink of the rivers of delight.
Amen.
So that we can become like you. So that we can become your word.
Amen.
So that we can become your word. Like just like you. When you open your mouth, as the sword of the Spirit speaks, so shall we be. We will have no choice. That when we open our mouth, the sword of the Spirit shall speak through us, for we shall become your word. And when you shall appear, O God, when you shall appear, we shall be like you, for we shall see you, O God, just like you are. Let Let this hope, oh God, in you purify ourselves. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bless your holy name, Almighty God. We bless your holy name, Almighty God. We receive this rain that has fallen on us, oh God, this morning, this afternoon. We receive this rain. We ask, oh God, that it shall break up every fallow grounds
in our lives.
In the name of Jesus Christ, that we will be able to receive more and more and more of you, oh God. In the name of Jesus Christ, that the righteousness of God shall be worked in us from faith to faith. For it is written, the just shall live by faith. In the name of Jesus Christ, we shall go out with joy. We shall be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing. For he said, you have made our feet to be like hinds' feet, and we shall walk upon our high places. We rejoice in you, Lord. We rejoice in you, every man in this house, in this Winnipeg Fellowship, and us here in Chicago. We shall rejoice in your salvation. In the name of Jesus, you have shown us the verdict. You said to us, you said in you we are more than conquerors because you loved us. Oh, you said death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, Lord God Almighty, we therefore declare this judgment. You have spoken and we can speak. You have spoken and we can boldly say. We declare, we decree the same judgment that you have given already upon us, that we are more than conquerors. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bless you, Almighty God. We worship you. We are so excited in our hearts, Lord. There is shouts and rejoicings in our hearts. You said, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes unto you. Oh, we rejoice. We rejoice in your salvation. Thank you, Almighty God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everyone who might be struggling with one thing or the other, oh Lord, as a corporate house, we receive grace, oh God, to break the holds of the enemy on our brothers and sisters. In the name of Jesus, you said, who the Son has set free is free indeed. The snare is broken. You are escaped.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who makes the heavens and the earth.
Blessed be your holy name, Almighty God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.